Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I don't mean to sound like the princess or the ask the mirror on the wall who was the prettiest of them all, but I'm a fairly secure person, but I have a nagging notion that I probably shouldn't ask, but by a show of hands, how many of you, had you known that I was preaching and not Webb, would have turned around and gone home? They love you, Webb. They persevered through the traffic jam. And we are grateful that all of you are here. I'm excited to hear Webb share today. It's just going to be a wonderful opportunity. And then the time of fellowship. We have a wonderful fellowship meal. Our illustrious board chair is going to leave about midway and go get a big amount of fried chicken. And he promises that most of it will make it here. And we'll have a wonderful time. So there's plenty of food, and I want everyone to join us. You can either drive around or go down the steps in the narthex to the lower level for our fellowship time. That'll be immediately afterwards. A couple of announcements. If you'll look at the back of the bulletin announcements, and I have to apologize, our copy technician came and cleaned our unit, but this morning it's still not doing that well, so I apologize for that. But if you look at Wednesday, the women's group will not be going to La Villa. The women's group will be meeting at 160 Kirkley Place, so both men and women will meet at the Griffin's house for Wednesday, and we invite you to come. We have a great time studying the Word and fellowship together. Also on Thursday, because of in talking to Glenn Harvey, I'm going down, Sherry and I are going down to Duke to be with Glenn Harvey, and it's earlier than we thought, so there will not be any Bible studies on Thursday, morning or evening. So we're glad that you are here. Any other announcements? Let's go to prayer requests. We have some prayer requests that you'll see added. We have two of our congregation that will be having surgery this week. Carolyn Ashwell will be having shoulder surgery on Tuesday at 6:30, and you will be there in prayer. I'll represent us as we have prayer with her before that. And then Glenn Harvey will be having a series of pre-surgery testings and whatnot, and then he has his major surgery on the 3rd of March in Duke. So please keep those two in prayer. We also have had three in our congregation that you know have recently lost members of the family, pets. So we think of Tom and his loss of Bella, and the Brills and their loss of Major, and Larry's daughter Lisa lost her cat Oreo. So we keep those in prayer too. Any other items you'd like to highlight verbally for prayer or praise? David.
I'd like to keep my wife in prayer for progress time after the knee manipulation and safe travels for Andy. I believe he's on the Thursday.
So Wednesday, Thursday. Okay. So let's continue to keep B. Gardner in prayer, and Andy Banky's traveling home from Macedonia. Moldova. And Wednesday, Thursday, so let's keep his travel in prayer. Any others? Yes, ma'am. Tony?
I want to pray for my dad.
Let's keep Tony's dad in prayer. What's his name, Tony?
John.
Let's keep Tony Brill's dad in our prayers, John. Thank you. Anyone else? Webb?
I have a really big praise. Baby Paisley is at ICU, and as soon as she can drink from the bottle, she's going home.
That's great. She is a miracle.
Yes, she is.
She's a miracle. And she would have been here too, hadn't she? I'm not jealous, Webb. I saw another hand, Mom.
Mary and Mance in Colorado.
All right. Mary and Mance in Colorado. Anyone else? Yes, Dave.
Helen, as always.
All right. Let's keep Helen Kinzer in our prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Is that hand up, Robert?
Yeah, I need a prayer for Heather. We're going through a difficult time with her right now. She might be out of the state.
So, you're going up Wednesday?
I'm going up Friday to talk to the administration, and then I'm going up Saturday to see her.
Well, let's keep that situation in prayer. Heather's been in different facilities in the state and just not doing well, and hope they'll be able to keep her in the state. So we'll be praying, brother. Wayne.
Pray for my daughter. She's feeling better than she has in last month.
Great. So we give praise that Nikki is doing much better. Amen. Thank you. David?
The people from East Palestine.
Let's keep the people in East Palestine, Ohio, in our prayers. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for the privilege of coming into your house today. We are truly a family coming together to praise one Father through his eternal Son by the power of that Spirit. And we just thank you as we come with joy and laughter. We come as one, for you have made us one in Christ Jesus. Whether we've known each other for many decades or just met today, we are all one in you. In fact, as we gather each Sunday, it's a little taste of heaven and what eternity will be, where there's unity and laughter and love, all in the name of Christ, and all are welcome. And so we thank you that you invite us into your presence, and we thank you for the absolute promise that you have given that where two or three are gathered, you will meet us there in your name. So we are excited to be here. We do ask blessings upon the web, and may we all be drawn closer to you by what he will share. We thank you for those that have gathered, and before we enter into worship, we share what's on our hearts, and we bring it to the one who cares for us above all things. So we do pray that you would be with Heather. We pray that she would know inner peace. The truth of the matter is we find peace nowhere else if we don't have it within. And we just pray that she will have a peace that comes from within, given by you without. And may she make choices that are in her best interest. And we just pray that you'll be with those that are making decisions for her, they will be encouraged. Encourage Robert as he has much on his plate. May you know that you are upholding him. We pray that you would be with all those in different health issues. We pray for Marion and for Helen and for Bee and for John. We give you praise for Nikki, that it's going much better. And we thank you and give you all praise for Paisley. We are rejoicing with her parents in her beating the odds and being a miracle. And we thank you for the reminder that with you all things are possible. We pray that you would be with those that are traveling. Thank you that the inconvenience today was simply an inconvenience. And we just thank you for the traveling mercies that we often fail to mention. But we just thank you for your safety of us each day. And in particular, we pray that you'd be with Andy as he travels this coming week. We pray that you would be with the two individuals having surgery this coming week, for Carolyn, for Glenn. We pray even now that you prepare their bodies for successful outcomes. And we pray for those that are hurting. We pray that you would be with the people in East Palestine. Just encourage them. May they know that even if they're forgotten by the system, we are never forgotten by the God who has etched us in the palm of his hand. That's a joy that brings us all together today. We thank you for all these things. We pray in your holy name. Amen. If you look to the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, before we stand and sing hymn 245, we'll use the first seven verses of Psalm 32, calling each to worship responsibly by a whole verse. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in his spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me, day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the sheet of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. Amen.
Thank you.
first reading is from Genesis 31, 1 through 21. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing, and pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life, thorn and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God. You would have us put no trust in anything we do. Mercifully grant that by your power, we may be defended against all adversity through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of light. And as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is from Romans 5, 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of all sin. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who sinned. Was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, of God, Jesus Christ abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign and life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
things. All praise your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. My dear father was a part of this church from the very beginning. And he was most of the time, proud of his son. But he was all the time proud of Webb Griffin for reasons that I won't get into. So in my understanding of the communion of the saints, you came from a distance, but I just know that somewhere above, old Rita has pulled up a chair for Donnie, and they're looking down and mighty proud for not who that he is, but what Christ has done in him. And he is a testimony, and I'm looking forward to hearing what my brother has to say. Well,
why did everybody show up today? Y'all do me a favor. Y'all do me a favor and stop staring at me. It's making me uncomfortable. I want to thank everyone today for being here. Most of you are probably coming anyway, but a lot of you are here that don't normally attend the well. You're here to support me, and I appreciate that. I want to thank Pastor Tom for the opportunity to not only allow me to do this, but to encourage it. He's got a way of just slowly pushing people and getting them to come out of their shell. And when I told him a couple months ago, one of the men's groups at Dave Gardner's house, that I wanted to do a sermon, Tom's face lit up like a kid in a candy store. You just tell it was like a proud father moment. By the way, for those of you that don't know, Pastor Tom is also, a.k.a. Dr. Tom Bryan. Pastor Tom is also known as Bishop Bryan, but he doesn't like wearing robes and pointy hats to church, so he just sticks with Pastor Tom. Thank you, Tom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing all of us with another day on this earth with our loved ones. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity today to speak. I pray that my message today blesses everyone here, especially those that are hurting and at times are having a hard time holding on to their faith. May my words glorify you above all else. Amen. Didn't know you could ever hear your heart beat like that. So, we have a simple motto here at the Well Church. Simple church, deep faith. So let's talk about the church for a minute. We've all heard most of us have heard Pastor Tom say this over the years, a couple of sermons, and I know I've said it even to complete strangers, but you all understand that the church isn't this building, right? The church isn't defined by drywall or stacks of bricks or shingles on a roof. The church is us. The church is this congregation, right? The church is a group of people gathering together to worship God. It really is that simple. Church can be in your backyard. It can be at a barbecue. Or it can be on a bench with a complete stranger. I want to tell you a story. Carrie and I love Virginia Beach. I think we've been every year for like 8 or 9 years now. And we're boring. Stay in the same hotel, same spot, go to the same restaurants. But for some reason, I always meet just the coolest people there. And a few years ago, we were there sitting at the pool, and you got to walk through this little gate to sit on the bench to have a cigarette. Yes, I still have a terrible habit. But anyway, this lady came and sat next to me, probably in her 60s, and struck up a conversation. And she was telling me that she was there with her husband and their granddaughter, and that they had adopted their granddaughter because her daughter, her granddaughter's mama, was addicted to drugs. So we struck up a conversation, and somehow God came up, and I asked her if she believed in God, and she told me she hadn't been to church for a long time. And I just kind of chuckled. And I said, you don't have to go to church to believe in God. So right there for about 2 or 3 minutes, I asked her if I could hold her hands and pray. And right there on that bench at Virginia Beach, we had church for a couple minutes. I don't know why I can pray with complete strangers on a bench in Virginia Beach, but I have such a hard time getting up here. But church is where you're worshiping God. It really is that simple. Okay? So that moves us to our faith. Let's talk about our faith for a minute. I looked up the definition of faith the other day, and that little five-letter word packs a powerful punch. There was a lot of definitions. I'm going to give you the three that spoke to me the most. Number one, belief and trust in, and two, loyalty to God. Number two, this is my favorite, firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Number three, something that is believed, especially with strong conviction. Let me tell you why our faith is so important. So, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to raise your hands or answer out loud. When I ask this question, you're probably all going to look at me like I have three heads. But I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
I told you not to answer out loud. Of course you do. You probably wouldn't be here. You believe in Jesus? Believe he died for our sins? You believe in heaven? Of course you do. But how do you know? You ever met God? Has he ever come out of the clouds and put his arm around you? What's up, dude? I'm God. You ever met Jesus? Did you walk this planet with Jesus when he was performing miracles? Did you watch him get nailed to the cross? You ever walk the streets of heaven? The answer is no, you haven't. So how do you know that God is real? How do you know that Jesus is real? That the heavens are real? Brothers and sisters, the simple and honest answer is you don't. Don't stone me to death just yet. I'm going somewhere with this. This is why I believe that we question God sometimes. Because deep down we don't really know. So let me ask you this. Can you think of a time that you've questioned God before? That you were angry with God? That you completely just lost your faith in God? I know I can. Let me give you a few examples of when that probably happened. When you lost a loved one, maybe in a freak accident, a car accident, a plane crash, motorcycle crash, a boating accident. Maybe you lost a loved one to cancer or suicide or COVID. Maybe you lost a loved one to murder or prison. Some terrible disease. Maybe your parents don't want anything to do with you anymore. Maybe you don't want anything to do with them. Maybe your kids don't talk to you anymore. Maybe you don't talk to them. Or your siblings or your aunts and uncles. They don't want anything to do with you. You don't understand why. Maybe a husband or a wife left you or cheated on you. Maybe you lost a child or a grandchild. Maybe you tried for years to have a baby, only to finally get pregnant and that baby died in your belly. Here's a big one for me. When a 2-year-old dies of cancer, when a 1-week-old baby has to have open heart surgery, and when a child, a young kid, an innocent kid, gets raped. I question God sometimes. You see, it's human nature to question God because we don't fully understand His plan. And we never will. Hear me out for a second. I'm not questioning God's existence. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe He died for our sins. I definitely believe in heaven. I've had talks with Jesus. I'm going to have the most bodacious, gnarly gator man cave in my mansion you've ever seen in heaven. I'm 99.999% sure that God, Jesus, and heaven exist. But when do we get to the 0.01%? When will we truly know 100% that God is real? Simple answer is when we die. Then and only then will we be able to connect the other 0.01% when we die. But before we die, we're still at that 99.99%, right? And that is where our faith comes into play. We need to remember every day that we're not supposed to understand God's plans. We were never meant to comprehend it. Okay, it's beyond our thinking. Look, not everyone's going to die peacefully in their sleep, okay? That's just not how it works. I don't know why some people die of a terrible disease or murder, cancer, suicide, a car crash, whatever killed them. The point is, how you die doesn't really matter. You know why? Because on the other side of death, you get to collect that 0.01%. I do believe in God and Jesus in heaven. I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't. But I'm still at that 99.99% until death. Let me tell you what I've always told people when they ask me how I know God is real. And I don't know why people always ask this. I get in conversations with some of the strangest but cool people about God. The first thing I tell them is I'm honest. I tell them I don't know. But I'm 99.99% sure He is. Second thing I tell them, I'm not a science guy, I may get this wrong, I may even make myself look like an idiot, you'll get the gist of it. But if you tell me that two microscopic atoms in an infinite universe met each other and boom, we're all here, I'm probably going to recommend that you check yourself into a padded room with a straitjacket and be fed applesauce the rest of your life, because you're crazy. Finally, I'm going to tell you that this, I would rather believe in God and die and be wrong than to not believe in God and die and go, oh crap. So let's look at faith from a different perspective. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine being born into a world where you didn't have a choice but to live your life by faith? I told you, Carrie and I like the beach. This is another Virginia Beach story, but a few years ago we were there, and a couple times throughout the week I saw this lady walking with her daughter, and you got to cut through the pool to get to the beach. And her daughter looked like she was 6 or 7 years old, and she was blind. And I passed her a few times that week, and they had passed us, and I thought about that little girl. And one day Carrie said, "Let's take a walk down the beach." I said, "Okay." So we walk out to the beach, and I see this little girl, and she's sitting on the sand, playing in the sand, water coming up, the waves coming up, hitting her in the legs. Couldn't see a thing. She had the biggest smile in the world on her face. So me and Carrie walked down the beach for a minute and came back. and sitting back in the chair and sitting there thinking about this little line girl. And then I just got overwhelmed. And I looked at Carrie and I'm like, baby, she's blind. And she's like, the little girl? I'm like, yeah, she's, yeah, no. I'm like, no, you don't understand. She's blind. And Carrie started to get a life for me. She's like, Webb, I know. I'm like, no, you don't understand. And my tears, my eyes welled up with tears. I said, she's blind. I said, she lives her whole life by faith. She wasn't given a choice. She couldn't see the sand. She could feel it between her toes. She couldn't see the ocean, but she could hear the waves crashing. She could feel the water running up and up under her butt and her legs. She couldn't see the sun, but she could feel the heat radiating on her face. She couldn't see the wind. That's actually a bad example. None of us can see the wind, but seriously, this little girl had no choice but to live her life by faith. She wasn't given the choice to. And yet as humans, we can see everything. And we still continue to question God. Let me go back to one of the three definitions of faith that was my favorite. Firm belief in something for which there is no proof. But we have tons of proof. Right? You got the Bible. I mean, there's everything that you can think of. Anyone ever studied the human body? This didn't evolve, brothers and sisters. We were created. Okay? But we still don't have that 0.01% yet. I know what it's like to lose a loved one. I know it hurts. It's supposed to hurt. I know it hurts when things don't go our way. Unexpected things happen. You know what I say? Let it hurt. Just don't question God. Don't question something that you don't fully understand. Don't question God's plans for us. You know why? Because God's a genius. Listen to me. He has every single one of us on different paths that all lead to the same destination. Heaven. And he's waiting there to give each and every one of you a big hug and hand you your 0.01%. Let me wrap this up with this story about me. Only a select few people in this room have ever heard this story. It's really hard to publicly share it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I want to make a point. As a kid, my dad worked three jobs and went to school at night. Mom did all his homework for him, so it's easy on him to get his bachelor's degree, but he did what he had to as a father to take care of his wife and four kids. So I had an uncle, Uncle Scott. He was around all the time. He was my best friend. He was more of a father to me than my dad was. I had the best childhood because Uncle Scott went hunting, fishing, camping. He got me out of so many nights of doing homework. He'd come by and look at me and go, boy, you want to spotlight some deer? I'm like, yeah, get mom's permission. And one day when I'm 18 years old, I get a phone call that says, your Uncle Scott just packed up all of his stuff and took off to Virginia because he's been molesting your sister his whole life. And we just found out. Just like that, I lost my best friend. And it hurt. It still hurts. So, fast forward like 22 years later, something like that. My Uncle Tom calls me up. He says, your Uncle Scott's dead with cancer. He's about to die. If you want to see him. No, sir, I don't. Couldn't bring myself to see him after all those years, even though I missed him all the time. So I didn't go see my Uncle Scott. I did something that night that I needed to do for 22 years, and I don't know till this day why I did it. I think I kind of know, but I hit my knees and forgave him. I didn't want him to go to heaven without my forgiveness. It's not our job to judge. You know, God says he forgives us. So we need to forgive others. And then I slept like a baby. couple days later, Uncle Tom calls me up. And he says, "You want to come to a service?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I'll come pay my respects." The Well Church held that service. And I met Pastor Tom. I met a lot of people of this congregation. Carrie and I fell in love with this church. January 7th, 2018, we got baptized together. We got our 0.01%. I tell you this story because what happened to me, my tragedy, I guess if you will, my sister's tragedy, my family's tragedy, 22 years later, it led me to the Well. It led Carrie and I to God. Don't question God. Don't question His plans. He knows what He's doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity to get up here today and to spread Your words and Your love and Your joy. Father, I pray that You just keep us in constant reminder that help us to understand that there's some things that we're just simply not going to understand. We weren't meant to. Remind us of that, Father. And I pray, Father, that everyone in this room, when they're feeling down, when they're feeling like they're in a bad spot, when they're feeling like everything around them is crashing, I pray that instead of them turning their back on You, losing faith in You and trusting You, I pray that they would instead turn around and not only walk to You, but run to You. And remember that You have a plan for all of us, and everybody's plan ends in heaven with our 0.01%. I pray, Father, that in our darkest hours, You continue to teach us to look for the light. We love You, Father. We cherish every moment of every day because of You. Thank You, Father. We pray this in Your Son's most beautiful name, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise and thanks are Yours, Lord God, because You remain faithful throughout our unfaith and constant amid our failure. Adam and Eve could see only scarcity, but You continue to offer us abundance. Though sin came into the world and poisoned Your good creation, You nonetheless called the children of Abraham to be Your companions. And in Jesus You faced the cost of our sin and received its poison into Your own body, transforming death into life. And so we give You humble thanks for Your forgiveness and our new life, with angels and archangels in the company of heaven singing Your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Righteous God, in Jesus You were tempted to make stones into bread, but instead in Him You make us living stones, and You made bread become His body. Send down Your Holy Spirit, that we may be transformed into Your body for the life of Your world, and that this cup would be for us the very body and blood of Your Son, our Savior, who at supper with His disciples took bread, gave You thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, and again He gave You thanks and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Justifying God, in your patience you see the hunger of your children. Send upon us your word, that in your living bread we may never be hungry again. In your mercy, you know your people's craving for drama and miracle. Raise up among us witnesses to the triumphs of your grace, that we may see you face to face. In your glory, you hear your fragile world's cries for justice. Shape in us the habits of faithfulness, the disciplines of holiness, and the practices of peace, that we may find your justice, just as we walk with your Son on the way of the cross. Until that day when you surprise us in the joy of resurrection, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, full of grace and truth.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The promise of the psalmist is that I will prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. We know that in the midst of those dark places, those enemies, whether they're individuals or situations or health or finances or relationships, whatever seems to be opposed to us, in the midst thereof, Jesus Christ comes to us. He gives his life for us, and he offers it to you today, prepared for you. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth to come forward. This is not this church's table. This is the Lord's table, and the Lord welcomes us all. So you are invited to come. We practice by intinction. I'll give you a piece of the bread. You dip it into the chalice. Then come forward and have prayer. We will have Katie Epley today. We'll be over here. If you have a particular prayer request, or if you would just like someone to stand beside you or to join with you in prayer, Katie will be here as well. So this is the gift of the Lord to us all. Come and receive his graciousness.
Thank you.
Sundays are in Lent. You can look on the insert to prove me. It's Sundays in Lent. Lent doesn't affect Sundays. That's why it's 40 days, but we don't count Sundays. The bottom line for that is if you gave anything up for Lent, you don't give it up on Sunday. So go hog wild. This is, Sunday is always a feast day, and we've got more to eat and drink than we can share. So come and join us. I'm not going to take his hand, but I'm going to ask Webb to walk out with me so that you guys can say that. And that was a blessing, wasn't it? It truly was a blessing. And the backstory to the story with Webb and Uncle Scott, Tom, and all that, and some of you know, but most of you don't. And without going into the details, the well, humanly speaking, begun through a really dark time in my life where I just wanted to quit. And I stand amazed and humbled by what God has done, because all of you know I can't even keep water. You all know what God has done through this congregation. So at the end of the day, we say praise be unto the Lord for all the goodness he's done. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.